We're going to continue our ongoing series examining how the tech boom is changing San Francisco and the Bay Area. Today, we're going to meet Jeremy Michaels and Brian Basinger. They don't know each other, but they're both part of a growing group of gay men with AIDS living in the Castro who don't have stable housing. Jeremy says he can't imagine living anywhere but San Francisco.
Well, it's been a safe place, you know, someplace that I feel comfortable. I mean, you know, gay men and women can walk around and hold hands, and there's nothing said about it.
Brian is originally from Missouri.
Never felt safe and never felt home any time in my life until I got there.
Jeremy and Brian each moved to the city more than 30 years ago and went right to the Castro. Both men survived the AIDS crisis in the 80s, watching many friends and loved ones die. The population of their neighborhood was decimated. The Castro and residents like Jeremy and Brian have been through a lot of changes. And now there's another threat to the neighborhood, Ellis Act evictions. Both Jeremy and Brian say the state law is being used in ways it wasn't intended. KLW's Liz Mack shows us one side of the city's housing crisis.
Hi. Thanks for having me over.
Sure, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing okay. A little lightheaded, but...
Jeremy Michaels is in his early 60s, and he has AIDS. He's lived in the Castro for almost 40 years, and in this Victorian apartment on Noe Street for almost 20. But he might not be living here much longer. Jeremy is the last tenant still living at 460 Noe. The tenants in the other two units left around the time the new owners bought the building 2 years ago. But because Jeremy wouldn't leave, the landlords have tried to evict him with the Ellis Act. I could only reach one. He declined to comment. In protest, Jeremy's put up posters for the neighbors to see. They cover most of the windows of his second-story unit.
Just boycott this property, do not buy properties where seniors or disabled tenants have been evicted for profit by uncaring real estate speculators using and abusing the Ellis Act.
When Jeremy says using and abusing the Ellis Act, he's arguing that his landlords aren't using the law as it was intended. Instead of trying to take the property off the market, he says they're planning to merge the units and resell for a profit. Jeremy says the people getting hurt by this practice are like him. They're some of the city's most vulnerable.
The city was losing a lot of its heart, a lot of its soul, you know, for being able to care for its vulnerable seniors and disabled people, or even just the middle class here.
For me, it's a spirit that is getting destroyed.
As director of the AIDS Housing Alliance, Brian Basinger helps people like Jeremy.
You know, I moved here to the San Francisco that was so open, and everybody's door was open. It's being replaced by a meanness and a greed.
Brian's gay, and he also has AIDS. He says his own experience getting evicted a decade ago led him to his life's work.
I was being Ellis Acted from my home that I'd lived in for 40% of my life, and I was the 13th disabled gay man with AIDS Ellis Act evicted from my block in 2 years. When all of this was happening to me, it seemed like the city was on fire and everybody I knew was in trouble. And I actually got a legal pad out and I wrote the name of every person with AIDS that I knew. And then next to them, I wrote down what their housing situation was. And I did not know one single person with AIDS who had stable housing.
To understand what Brian's fighting for, you have to understand what he's lost.
I never really, in my entire life, ever felt like I had a home.
Brian's from Missouri, but his stepfather kicked him out when he was 15. Brian says it was because he was scared he'd bring AIDS home, even though he didn't actually have it yet. He started a new life in San Francisco. He lived at 67 Pearl, between Market and DuBose. It was one block long and had a little alley called Pink. They called it Pink and Pearl.
We had the kind of block where we would all sit on the stoops on the weekend and we would just saunter up and down the block and visit. And we all knew each other.
For the first time, Brian had a home.
I mean, it was so incredible. And our place was the center. Everyone gathered there. everyone would say, would compare it to Tales of the City. And they said I was an animadrigal. And it was, you don't understand. It was so wonderful. Even in the midst of all of that crisis, the beauty that existed there was just special.
To Brian, what's happened to him isn't just a personal loss. It's symbolic of what's happening to his community and the Castro. That's why he started the AIDS Housing Alliance.
The impacts of this type of displacement, you know, there's what it did to me as an individual, and also what it did to a community and what was lost. And these communities get knitted together over time. And I had the dream. You know, I lived in a building where 30 gay men came to die with AIDS, and we all took care of them. And it was every 3 months somebody in the building was dying, and many of the people would get cremated, and they were buried in the backyard. And so this was also such a profound experience for me personally. And also, it was in my will. I was supposed to die and be buried in the backyard with everybody else. And that's how the circle was going to get completed. And that was my picture of my life.
People like Brian feel it's important to stay in the city. But once they're evicted, often from rent control apartments, many can't afford to stay.
I am looking for a place right now. You know, I still don't make enough money to qualify for the overwhelming majority of the affordable housing that's in this city. So my options are extremely limited. You know, I'm one of the city's experts on getting people into affordable housing. I can't even get myself into it.
I don't know if you can see around here. I've got boxes folded and packed into corners in preparation for a move if I... You know,
because he's a senior with a disability, Jeremy Michaels is part of a federally protected group. He gets a little longer after an Ellis Act eviction notice to move out, a full year. Since he was notified in September 2012, he's been in a legal battle with his landlords, and he's managed to stay in his apartment, though he doesn't know how much longer he can. But Jeremy says if he's going to go out, he's going to go out big.
I told them I'd fight in any way I could. And that's what I'm doing.
Jeremy set up a website and teamed up with the tenants' rights group. He's shown up at hearings and staged protest. He even made up his own version of the song San Francisco.
All you San Francisco politicians, please listen to this song's petition. I'm a senior with disabilities, and now they've Ellis evicted me. But I really want to stay. It just doesn't seem to be the primo gay neighborhood anymore. And not that a mix of people is not a bad thing. I mean, that's not a bad thing. It's just, I miss the intensity, I guess, of you know, I mean, every political stand that you know, on behalf of gay rights, it started here. We'd all meet up at what is now Milk Plaza, you know, and march from there, and, you know, and all that. That doesn't happen anymore.
It's part protest, part love song. San Francisco is the city Jeremy always dreamed of, but the one he never dreamed he'd have to leave.
San Francisco, now that I'm turning gray, please don't take my home away too.
For Cross Currents, I'm Liz Mack.